We're going to come from Scripture, Genesis 22nd chapter, verses 1 through 19, then I'll pray. You know, from the old Baptist church I grew up in, you know, they just getting modernized, but they got the screen up there. Next thing I say, when you find it, say amen. But if you don't find it, we got it up here, hopefully. Amen. Hey, catch up and get left behind. Genesis. And that should be a very, very easy book to find if you're trying to find it in your Bible. If you're taking a long time to find that one, then we need to have a talk. Amen. Genesis. Beginning. Might be talking to myself. 22nd chapter. We're going to be reading verses. Amen. And to read thusly. Sometime later, God tests Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son. Yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey, and he took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire and burnt offering, and he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of the journey, Abraham looked and he saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told his servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there and then we will come right back. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulder while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said. But where is the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, but now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up, and he saw a ram by its thorn in the thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as the burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Amen? Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come right now as we assemble ourselves here together. We say thank you for this opportunity to share in your word with others. We pray a special prayer, O God, for the shepherd you place over this flock, Pastor Bruce and his wife. We know that you said in your word you never leave us nor forsake us, even in the time of transitioning. We pray for safe travel for them. We pray for everyone that is here at the Family Worship Center and this community, this town, this world. Everyone, oh God, because we all need prayer. We ask that I will decrease as you increase, so people see more of you and less of me in me, oh God. We ask this in your daughter's son, Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 A few months ago, I did a sermon. I was up here, and it was a touch of faith. A touch of faith. I talked about the woman with the issue of blood, when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was made whole. She was delivered. Well, today we're going to talk about a test of faith. Amen? Sometimes in our life, we all go through some sort of a test. Whether you want to or not, you will get some type of test. The question I have for the family worship today, if that test is coming from heaven, from God, can you pass that test? Can you pass the test? As in my studies, and I'm sure we got a lot of biblical savvy people out here, we know that that scripture is dealing with Abraham, Isaac, and his wife Sarah. Now, before Abraham, he was called Abram. Before Sarah, she was Sarai. Abraham, the meaning of his name is father of a multitude. Sarah, the Hebrew name, is princess. Now, if you think I'm up here and I'm not telling the truth, fact check me, I don't care. Amen. I put a lot of time, if I'm going to do my studying before I get up here, I ain't going to think, God will hold you accountable. Woe to the one that scatters my flock. Amen. Now, usually, before I get into what I'm talking about, the scripture that was read, I like to go to the previous scripture. And the previous scripture talked about Sarah and Abraham. See, they was very rich, had a lot of possessions, a lot of camels, servants, but they was missing something. They was missing something. See, you could be very wealthy, and God don't mind having wealthy people. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm trying to get to know all of them I can. Very wealthy. But they were missing something. And the Bible says in the previous chapter, they did not have a child. So if you got all of these possessions and things, who are you going to leave it behind to? They didn't have a child. That was very important. One day, God made a promise to Abraham. He said that you will have descendants as many as the stars in the sky. The last time I looked, I couldn't count all them stars. I wouldn't even try. You will have descendants as many as the sand on the seashore. Last time I was at the beach, far as I can look, I saw sand. Can you imagine how many descendants that would be? I can't even count that high. Most of us can't get past billion, trillion, zillion, sextesian, artesian, novesian. Now, novesian, I top out, that's it. I probably left some of y'all back there in billions. Amen. It was thought that it was impossible for Abraham and Sarah to conceive a child. Think about it. The Bible said Abraham about 100. Young folks say about 100. Sarah was 90. 100 years old. Amen. Now, ladies, let me talk to you. Sarah, she could not and didn't want to believe God promising, but she didn't want to wait for a child. The previous chapter, she didn't want to wait. You know, like y'all young ladies, I love my wife, my mom, sister, brother, I love it. But sometimes ladies just don't want to wait. When they want it now. Give it to her, it's mine. What you waiting on? Hey, bro, where you at? Sarah didn't want to wait. So, she got a servant, Hagar. Told Abraham, now ladies, y'all check this out. Told Abraham, go ahead, you and my servant Hagar, y'all go on in there and give me a son. Fellas, that's the one, ladies, I'm sorry, that's the one time you probably would not get any rebuttal or no back talking from a man. Oh, Abraham, 100 years old, he didn't fuss, he didn't fight. Well, I go on ahead, you know, see what we can do. You know, wife want a child. Sarah was saying, ain't nothing going on. Oh, Abraham went on in there and lo and behold, they had a boy. Amen. He didn't fuss about it. I know he didn't. His son that they had was called Ishmael. Amen. Ishmael, read it, it's there. 100 years old. The man having, well, you know, but even though it was physically impossible, they did. Now, as I fast forward to chapter 22, what we just read, Abraham got a word from the Lord. And Sarah got a word from God. See, you have to understand, when you are wealthy in those days, in order to be the one to get past the wealth zone too, you got to be a child of the mother and the father. Now, when Abraham and Sarah was traveling, before I get to that point, they was traveling from a place called Beersheba, not Beersheba, and they was trapped. They left that place because of a famine, and they were going toward Egypt. Now, the Bible says that Sarah was very comely. That means she was very beautiful. She was good looking. Now, the Bible also put her in the same category as Rachel and Rebecca. And the Bible said there were some good looking women. Now, before we get to the meat of this, when they was heading to Egypt, Abraham knew that the Pharaoh would look at Sarah and see how pretty she was and know that she was probably his wife. And they probably would kill him but let her live. So he told Sarah to tell them, you are my sister. Now, you may frown on that, but in my studies, I found out that that wasn't totally off point, because that was his half-sister. If you do your digging, you'll find out that Sarah was Abraham's father's child, but they had a different mother. Uh-oh. When y'all find out, if you find out I'm wrong, come back and talk to me. But you ain't gonna find out I'm wrong, because I wouldn't tell you if it was wrong. Amen. Half-sister. Amen. If you got the same father but different mother, you have. Sarah was actually his half-sister. So he wasn't totally off point when he said, tell him, you're my sister. That way, they won't kill me. We both can make it. But that's like a Bible study there. Let's move on. As we get a little closer, we find out that they were at this age, they was older. I'm going to fast forward a little bit. And he was 100, she was 90. She was told that she was going to conceive a boy. Can you imagine being 100 years old, 90 years old, and somebody telling you that you're going to have a child? I imagine she probably walked in the room and said, ain't nothing happening here. 90 years old? 100, but with God in the midst, all things are possible. God can do anything he desires to do, when he want to do it, and how he want to do it, amen? But that's why he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He can do anything. Anything. All-powerful. Yeah. Now, we ain't all that in a bag of chips. I used to think I was. Back in the day, Jerry Curl had a few buses. I thought I had all that. Had a little car sunroof. Yeah, but I didn't stay there. Now I'm bald head. Muscles, got to find them sometime. Amen. But with God, all things are possible. I still fall on my knees and praise God. I got a bad one, but I still fall on it. It ain't always been like this. Done did it all. Wrestle, karate, did it all, actually, did it all. And still can do a little bit of it. Not as long though, amen. But God showed her, and she didn't want to believe it. But what happened? She had a boy. Amen. Special. Special. God is special. Now, let me tell you about what happened later on in life as Abraham laid down and he got this angel, spoke to him. This angel was representing God and told him that, you know what? I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son. This was a test from Almighty God. Now, what's a test? I heard you ask me that. Let me tell you what a test is. I went to my collegiate Bible dictionary, and it said that the test is a measure to check the quality or performance or reliability of something. A test. Now, let me pull a side note here about a test. I was at Fort Valley State University. I was in college. I think it was a philosophy test, but you have to understand, I was young, dumb, I was partying. I'd been out drinking and everything else. I ain't gonna lie to you. With some other friends of mine. I'm a frat boy. I lived in a frat house. We all was out partying, getting it, but we had a Monday morning test. I was the freshman. They were juniors and seniors. They knew the rope. They didn't already know what was going on. I'm trying to keep up with them. Monday morning, I got up late because, you know, head was hurting. Had too much, did too much stuff. Went to class, and I was going into class. My fraternity brother was coming out of class. I was like, wait a minute. What's going on here? We had a test. They had already got up, taken the test, passed the test. I was walking in, just beginning the test. And I looked at my watch, and the professor said, Mr. Drayton, can you finish the test in 20 minutes? I'm like, I'm going to try. He said, well, don't answer that. He said, because if you can't, you don't have another choice. That's it. A test. They had studied, put their time in, did all they needed to do. I tried to keep up with them. I was dancing, partying, drinking, and I didn't study. But I thank God for Jesus. I don't know how I made an 80-something, but I passed. I was the most prayed-up person that you ever want to see in Fort Valley State, Georgia. Because I knew if I came back home, them F's and D's were charged a lot of me and Drake were going to do. Matter of fact, it was like that. I wouldn't have came back home. I just stayed up there. Amen. But when you got a test, and you're being tested by something or someone, can you pass the test? Abraham, God wanted him to sacrifice his only begotten son. I have two daughters, Renisha and Natasha. I pray, Lord, please don't ask me to give them up for some of y'all, because I know y'all, thank God that this was already, the road has already been paved. Jesus, God gave his only son, Jesus, for us. The ultimate sacrifice has already been done, okay? So you don't have to give up your son to save a whole lot of us. Amen. Because if it came to me, I don't know if I could do it for y'all, and I love all y'all. Amen. I'm just keeping it real. Thank God 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary, God gave his only begotten son, Jesus, who was nailed to an old rugged cross, who bled, suffered, and died just for us so that we can be here today and have a right to the tree of life. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, Renisha and Tasha, y'all safe for a while. Amen. And when we want to find out that God had told Abraham, I want you to go to this place and sacrifice your son. So the next morning early, Abraham got up with his two servants, a donkey, and began to travel to this place that God was going to show him. Amen. And this is how I know that God is omnipotent. Early the next morning, some servant went out with him to sacrifice, to help him when he was going to this place. When Abraham saw, if you turn to verse 4 and 5, verse 4 and 5. Abraham verse 4 and 5, 4 and 5 says that on the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told his servant. "The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, then we will come right back." Listen at that. We, that's plural. We will go farther, we will worship, and we will come right back. He didn't say, "I'll come back and my son will already been sacrificed," but we. So Abraham already knew that God was not going to leave him. I said to myself, maybe Abraham knew because God is omnipotent, that even if he were to sacrifice his son, God has all power that he can raise him up from the dead if he chose to do so. Or maybe Abraham was saying, "Lord, I trust you that if you do allow me to sacrifice my son, well, maybe you're going to give me another son." But whatever it was, it said that we will worship and we will come back. So that means that there's more than one person coming back. Abraham had already knew that God will provide. How many of us, sometimes you don't know, sometimes you know, and I know this, that you just don't know where your next meal, and you don't know how you're going to pay your next bill, but God provided sometime in some type of way. It happened. God will provide. Sometimes you say, "Well, Lord, I said this 4 years ago. What am I going to do? You done took my dad away. This month was 4 years. Me and dad were like this. What am I going to do?" Well, 4 years later, guess what? I'm still doing what I think God wants me to do. God will take care of you. God will provide for you. A lot of times it's just us. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. It ain't over until God says it's over. Amen? He went on, and as they stopped and they kept going forward to Mount Moriah is where this all took place. Now see, this is what I like. As they was walking and going on, you know, I knew sooner or later this was going to happen. Abraham and Isaac, when they left the service in the donkey and they went on further, you know how we young folks are. They was walking. Isaac, Abraham, father, I see the wood. Yeah. I see the fire. I see the knife. But Father, where is the sheep? Where's the sacrifice? I see all of that, and I see me and you. Where is the sacrifice? Now, anybody that can put 2 plus 2 together would say, "Well, he died. He got me out here. I'm carrying the wood because I'm strong. Ain't nobody but us." More than likely, I'm the sacrifice. Now, I might have had my track shoes on once I figured it out. Amen. But you understand what's going on here. Now, my father was a man among men. If he said stay, I would stay. Especially when I was young. You know how we are of men. You start getting a little muscles, getting a little big, start smelling yourself. Then you might want to challenge daddy, but don't do that. Most times you ain't going to win. No. Even when you start getting a little big, you look down on him. No, don't do that. And I'm not talking about physically. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. Amen. There's a lot of truth in that. But I might have would have put my track shoes and said, "You know what, Dad? If you can't tell me who this sacrifice is, we got all this wood and stuff, and there ain't nothing going on. I don't know, Dad. You might have tied me up right now, keep me from running." But he was young, glad, and obedient, and following his father. When he got there, and as the time went on, tell me that Isaac was very disheartened. Isaac believed in God. I mean, Abraham believed in God. Abraham knew that he could trust God. Even when things looked bad and things look dismal, Abraham knew that God would provide. You might not see the end. You might not know what the outcome is going to be. But if God tells you to do it, do it. You cannot lose with the stuff God used. Always follow God's direction. Stay in his word and you won't go wrong. For when he got up to the mountain, they tell me that Abraham tied up Isaac and placed him on the altar. They tell me that his son was tied where he couldn't get away. Abraham grabbed the knife. Tell me that when you grab the knife, he drew it back and began to kill his son. Now you got to that point, you imagine that on the way down, what could stop him from killing his son? But when you got a man by the name of Jesus, who's all powerful and he's omnipresent, that just means that God is everywhere at the same time. When I left coming to church this morning, God was riding with me in my little beat up Toyota. And I was driving on 609, God was still with me. They tell me that when I got here at Family Worship Center, God was already in here waiting on me. And I just believe when I leave, he'll be out there waiting on me. And I begin to go back home, he'll be at the house waiting on me. Because he is omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. So as God, as Abraham began to bring the dagger down, Lord, that's a lot of belief. I mean, nobody said anything to him yet. He done brought it back, gonna take him out, and began to do it. Then he heard a voice said, "Abraham, Abraham." It was an angel speaking on behalf of God. "Don't do no harm to the lad. Don't hurt him. Let him go. Let him go. There is." Look in the bush, the ram, in the thicket. God will provide, I tell you, Family Worship Center, even when we don't see the end. He can see further down the road than what we can. God always provides. Always. It's up to us. He always got a ram. But you got to stay in his word. You got to have a personal relationship with God. God can talk to you. You might not hear him if you don't have a relationship with him. Amen. You must have a relationship with God. Do you have a relationship today? Don't raise your hand. Do you have a relationship with God? You answer that question, I can't. Amen. See, we are in the land of the dying, heading to the land of the living. One day you're going to have to spend eternity somewhere. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. Now is the time to get it right. Not when you the choir staying up here on Sunday morning, eating, when during the week. Not when the undertaker them came and got you. Now is the time to get it right. Amen. Tomorrow isn't promising nobody. One day at a time. Today is that time. Lord knows every time. You ever did something every... I probably need to take, no, I'm not either. Take a different route. Every time I come down on 609, after I took my car and rolled up in the ditch, and flipped over in the ditch of water, every time I get to the same spot, I look, thank you, Lord. Right. Seriously, even when it's raining, you know what I do? I slow down extra right there by the same spot. And I'm saying this, and I'm telling you, God is my witness, I'm not lying. I saw a car today. Almost in the same spot, but it was dry. I slowed down even though I was late. I said, I can't do this. There was nobody in it. Nobody. The car in front of me kept going. I just couldn't do it. There was nobody in it though. And I felt better looking around. So I keep on going to church. It might have just jumped out because it was dry. Climbed up and took off. But I thank God. I thank God every day. Even when I get out of bed, these old knees be cracking, but I still fall down the best I can. Sometimes I just roll them on the sides and, Lord, thank you for another day. I don't know what the day might bring, but I know you know what the day will bring. I don't know who holds what the future might bring, but I know who holds the future, amen? You don't believe just like Abraham. You know, I thought about this when it said Abraham was 100. And I said to myself, now that's up in age. And I thought about it. Who wants to live to be 100? Everybody that's 99. Amen. But God is good. And he's good all the time. And I know I gotta go. But remember this, whatever test that God give you, whatever test that you do, you have to be able to pass the test. Abraham passed the test with flying colors. He was going to sacrifice his only begotten son. Can you imagine how hard that is to give away your only son, to give it up? But thank God, God gave his only son, Jesus, for us. And I thank him and I praise him for that. Amen.